Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Have you ever wanted to change your name? Not because it's old and outdated, but maybe because you think if you change your name, maybe the bank or the doctor's office and their billing department might not be able to find you. Or that stalker of a relative or a friend might not be able to find you. I want freedom, we think. And no, this doesn't apply to me, of course. For an altogether different reason, please call me Pastor Roberto from now on. And Mr. Treasurer, I may or may not have a different Social Security number. By the year 1519, 2 years after the start of the Reformation, Martin Luther recognized that his name could be changed slightly and it would take on a whole new meaning. Change the D to a TH, put an E before Luther and the Eros at the end, and you get the great word in Greek, Eleutheros, which means... Chuck? He's gone. Great. He told me before the service, he looked it up. It means freed man. Freed man. Was Martin Luther a freed man? Elector Frederick the Wise, a friend of Martin Luther's who happened to be the uncle of Emperor King Charles V, decided to capture Luther. And put him up in a castle in Wartburg near Eisenach in May of 1521. Why? To take this recently condemned heretic out of the limelight. Hopefully to preserve his life and to keep the Reformation going. Ordered not to leave his room, Luther found freedom in the only way he could, translating the Bible. In several months in lockdown, Luther translated the New Testament from Greek, not Latin, Greek, the original, to German. And later he took the Hebrew, took him more years, did the Hebrew to the Old Testament. His translation was very good. Germans will tell you it's the standard for German language today. But in Luther's mind, and the opinion of many who never read the Bible, Luther freed God's word from high and holy learned class of the church and made it possible for peasants and paupers, and yes, even princes and kings, to read God's word and to find the freedom of the gospel. Perhaps the most freeing moment of the Reformation took place when Martin Luther was on lockdown, not very Eleutheros at all. And was it not, and even more so freeing, when our Lord Master Jesus Christ, when he was tied down and crossed up, that we found the greatest hope and freedom? As Jesus said in the text, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Christians have had to suffer the bondage of being a slave so that others can be Eleutherios, Eleutherioi, freed men. But the problem in this world is that many, including the Jews who are speaking to Jesus in today's text, thought themselves free already. We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone, they thought. But that wasn't true, was it? Number one, if you know Israel's history, they were slaves down in Egypt until Moses came and set them free, told Pharaoh, "Let my people go." Secondly, during the 50 years of exile to Babylon, they were not free to even leave Babylon to return to Israel. 50 years until King Cyrus's decree. Number three, who was really in charge in Jesus' day? Who were they paying taxes to? I think we heard last week, didn't we? Hail Caesar. And Caesar didn't just want your taxes. He also demanded a certain amount of worship. One Caesar said, I'm Divius Filius, the son of God. Divi Filius. Worship me. Number four, and most importantly to the Lord, the kind of slavery that nobody wants to talk about. Everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. In other words, those who don't want to acknowledge sin have no need to be set free. But in the words of Archie Bunker, you can deny your belly button, but it's still there. Most people won't deny sin and evil in the world when it's out there in other people. Terrorists, domestic abusers, armed robbers, pedophiles. But they hesitate or rebel against acknowledging their own sin. Especially when, hey, it's easy to see sin in somebody else when he's not in my people group. They don't have Abraham as their father, and their skin is a different color. But their own sin, hatred, gluttony, lust, revenge, slander, adultery, failing to love one another, deny it all you want, it's still there. Likewise, you can deny Jesus all you want. Either he didn't exist, or he wasn't the Messiah, or he was a good man, and he was born of a virgin, and he was a prophet, but he didn't really die and rise from the dead. Yet the eyewitnesses of his life and his teaching are still there. And the reports of his resurrection are still there and must be wrestled with and either explained away or believed beyond a reasonable doubt and a spirit-given conviction. And Jesus himself even weighed in on this discussion, but much more simply. If you abide in my word, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And you will truly be my disciples, Jesus said. Discipleship could be defined as who you sit down in front of and still get up thinking about. Given that definition, who are we disciples of today? News anchors, politicians, university professors, TED Talks. As they say in the Bible, it's okay to live in the world, but just not of the world. Our disciplines, our teachers, our news anchors, our politicians, they change from year to year. And sometimes from day to day. We drop some disciplines because we don't see the value of them anymore, or we're not interested anymore, or we've gotten out of the habit, or we're just too busy and distracted to stick with it. But there is one discipline in which we should abide in. Abide means to remain, to stay in it for the long haul, loyally, faithfully cling to it. Don't give it up so easily when life changes or the challenges of life challenge you to do something else. Abide in my word, Jesus said. And then you'll know the truth. And the truth will set you free. It's been said that all the accomplishments of the Reformation could be attributed to the discovery of the printing press or political changes in Europe, or a reaction to the moral depravity in the church. But if you ask Luther and the Reformers, and you read their writings, it's very clear that they attributed the Reformation to one thing: Jesus' call to abide in His Word and remain disciples of Jesus, trusting in the freedom, rather than any other kind of freedom, trusting the freedom of God's Word, that the Son sets you free, free from the law, free from every guilt and shame and everything else, and freedom from all authority, everything else, freedom to be God's child freely. And you could put all these blokes, these reformers, in jail. You could threaten to cut off their heads, as was done. You could burn them at the stake. Some reformers were burned. You could put them in front of the most powerful ruler in the civilized world, who tells you, you must recant of everything that you wrote and preached in contradiction to church doctrine and papal decrees. It's then that you must discover whether you're really Luther or Eleutheros. Abiding in God's word and truth, and or bowing down to false doctrines of men. It may be part legend or wholly true, but these words of Luther before the Diet of Worms in 1521 help us discern what it means to abide in God's word or abandon God's truth. Eleutheros said, "Unless I am convinced by scripture and plain reason, I do not accept the authority of the popes and councils, for they have contradicted each other. My conscience is captive to the word of God. I cannot and I will not recant anything, for to go against conscience is neither right nor safe. Here I stand. I can do no other. God help me. Amen." Some say Luther became a freed man when he changed his name and wrote a bunch of stuff that stuck it to the Pope. But if you ask Luther, or better, if you ask Jesus, no one becomes free by doing anything. Not by works do we find true freedom. Rather, it is by faith in what God has done, starting with your baptism, and faith in what Jesus did on the cross for you, and by his open tomb for you. And Jesus' body and blood, the gift of food that feeds us, sustains our faith, and grants us eternal life through the forgiveness of our sins. In other words, freedom finds you. In other words, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Blessed Reformation in the spirit of discipleship, my friends. Discipleship in Christ Jesus. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in the faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.